If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
To ConservativeNationMedia.com. This is Daily Roll Call, and I am your host, Kathy Henners. We are 2 days away from Christmas 2013 already. Where is the time flying? I hope that everyone had a wonderful Christmas. It was a beautiful day in here in Tennessee. We had no snow or ice, like a lot of folks up in the Northeast and in the North in general are experiencing. So in all, it was a great, great Christmas. If you got to listen to the Christmas special here on Conservative Nation Media, it was fantastic. It was really a great throwback to, you know, when I was a kid, listening to the traditional music of Christmas. And I think the best part, though, was listening to Rudolph. I mean, you know, that was kind of a tradition. You know, you always had to watch Frosty and Rudolph and the Grinch and all those older cartoons. Oh, my God, I guess I'm giving my age away. But anyway, listening to Rudolph instead of watching it on TV kind of put a whole new dimension to it. So, you know, thank you to Conservative Nation Media for broadcasting that. It was really a great way to spend Christmas afternoon. Anyways, it is Friday again, and we are headed towards a new year. 2013 has been quite a ride, to say the least. I can only imagine what 2014 is going to be like, especially since Obama has declared 2014 the year of action. I don't know what he means by that. I can only imagine what exactly the year of action means. Lord knows the previous years haven't been anything worthwhile as far as action goes, so we'll see what he's talking about. Maybe more golf games, you know, who knows. Actually, last week we had a visit from somebody named Barack Hussein Obama, who called in on the phone and tried to give us something. I'm not sure what he was saying, but he was there anyway. If you listened last week, you heard that somebody called in that said he was Barack Hussein Obama. Before we get into tonight, I just want to mention a very important event for those that live in Tennessee, specifically in the Nashville greater area. Tennessee Against Common Core and Education Matters Institute presents Getting Down to the Core, and it's not just about standards. This event will be held on January 11th, 2014 from 1 to 5 p.m. at the Embassy Convention Center in Madison, Tennessee. You can go to eventbrite.com and, again, look for the name of the event. We'll be Getting Down to the Core. So that is really a must-attend event. I would suggest anybody having or hearing of anything to do with Common Core, any group that is bringing in any specialists regarding Common Core probably should go to that event, all right? We're going to be really talking more about Common Core as the new year progresses. We're going to have a few guests on that will be talking about that, as well as getting back into the textbook issue, because that is so, so important. Tonight is a packed, I hope it's packed. I'm losing my voice already. 2 hours with topics affecting us all. Now, you know, this is the place to be on Fridays if you want to talk about the Muslim Brotherhood. So what has happened in Egypt, that the Muslim Brotherhood has now been declared a terrorist organization, and just what exactly that means to us, and, you know, what we're going to do about it besides nothing. the other thing that we've been talking about for weeks, and I told you that I would keep you up on what's going on, is the OIC, which is the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, and it's UN Resolution 1618. Remember, we've talked about that. We broke it down a couple weeks ago. We talked about it again last week. The defamation of religion law, we've got the absolute latest on that, and believe me, there is movement on that as well. And if we have time to talk about, I did get an email again about this. So it's regarding Duck Dynasty debacle and Jesse Jackson's late entry into the game. Like, where has he been? You know, it's like the guy just got his head out of what? You know, his crackhead son's cell or something? I'm not sure. But Jesse Jackson has decided to jump on the bandwagon and turn this into a race issue. Unbelievable. Not quite sure why. And I'm not quite sure why I keep getting emails about this. You know, we got into this last week about what exactly Phil Robertson said and how that was offensive. And then, you know, we managed to turn it around how the Muslims are embracing homosexuals and what exactly and how exactly they really do feel about homosexuals, that it is against the law, it is against Sharia law for you to be a homosexual. You know, you see them hanging them in Iran. So really, it's something that is so... The hypocrisy there with the homosexual between homosexuals and the Muslims is ridiculous. So now all of a sudden we've got a race deal. I'm not sure how, but you know what? It was brought up. So if you want to talk about that later on, or whenever, give me a call. Our number to call in here is 718-305-7176. I see I have a few people on hold. I do believe though they are. I think you're listening. I think so. I think that's Ron and probably Robert. Anyway, if you want to call in, we're going to start talking about the Muslim Brotherhood and what happened this week. 718-305-7176. You are done shopping. You can't be doing anything. So you need to be listening to what is happening in the world of the Muslim Brotherhood. It is huge. What has happened this week is huge. If you're not paying attention to world news, you should know that on Christmas Day, on Wednesday, the current administration in Egypt, which is basically run by the military, the government is the military, they formally declared the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist organization, banning all of its activities, including protests. Actually, some of their leaders are going to jail. So this is huge for Egypt to declare the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist organization is huge. So basically what happened was is that there on Christmas Day there was a bombing of a police station, and I think that probably was the last straw for the military because that is when they decided to step in, not even knowing if in fact the Muslim Brotherhood had anything to do with, you know, the bombing at all. They had no proof that there was any Brotherhood involvement. Actually, a pro-Al-Qaeda group that was called Ansar Jerusalem was the one that came forward and took credit. But we do know that Al-Qaeda and the Muslim Brotherhood do work together. So they are a force, obviously, to be reckoned with. You know, there were still a lot of protests ever since this has been declared. The protests are actually stepping up. The army is actually making more arrests. On Thursday, another bomb went off, and now they're rounding up all the Muslim Brotherhood group members and leaders. Now, Morsi is already in jail. The president-elect that was put in, they say, democratically with an election, they say that the people wanted Morsi. They wanted the Muslim Brotherhood in. However, the government had a different idea. The military has a different idea. Well, when you look back at who the Muslim Brotherhood is, the people in the Middle East don't forget that. because not everybody believes in an Islamic state. And that is exactly what the Muslim Brotherhood's goal is, to have an Islamic caliphate, run under Sharia law. So their version of democracy is quite different than ours. We don't think of, when we hear pro-democracy, we think, oh, that's great. They want what we have. Well, no, not really. That isn't the same thing. So that's the backstory, basically, is that this all started from a police station in Mansour, Egypt, being bombed. The Muslim Brotherhood came out and said that they had no proof, but they believe that they're involved, so hence they are naming them, declaring them a terrorist organization. So this is a really interesting turn of events here. Morsi is accused of involvement in terrorist plans that go back to 2005. So he has been known to be an activist and a terrorist, if you will, if that's what you want to call him. But he was way back in 2005, he was looking at sending Muslim Brotherhood fighters to the Hamas-controlled Gaza Strip for training by Hezbollah. So, I mean, this is all related. Hamas, Hezbollah, they're all related to the Muslim Brotherhood, specifically Hamas. The other interesting twist here is that, and I believe probably the world was waiting for a reaction from the U.S., and what they got was very interesting. And I'm going to tell you about that in a second. But first, I'd like to let you in on a little secret. Those of us who love America are about to roll out the big guns. We can't bring serious anti-communists like Joe McCarthy, Ronald Reagan, and Barry Goldwater back onto the air, but we think we found the next best thing, and it starts on Thursday, January 16th. Patriot, writer, broadcaster, and conservative intellectual Lisa Richards is joining conservativenationmedia.com on the 16th of January at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, with Rock and Roll Politics. If William F. Buckley were around today, Lisa would be his favorite broadcaster, and she'll be yours too. Lisa Richards, Rock and Roll Politics, starting Thursday, January 16th at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. And welcome to Lisa, and that's quite a title, Rock and Roll Politics. That could be really interesting to listen to. Okay, so back to the Muslim Brotherhood, the terrorist organization. A lot of countries, Russia, and probably Saudi Arabia, were kind of waiting to hear the United States come out with a comment, or to come out with what should have been, I think, something else. But the Obama administration has decided to go against the regional anti-brotherhood wave, and instead basically say that it would not follow suit, and that it is highly unlikely that the U.S. State Department will designate the Brotherhood as a foreign terrorist organization. Even though it meets the qualifications, it's more than likely that it will condemn Egypt's latest action. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? Now, if this doesn't confirm, a lot of suspicions out there about what exactly is happening here in this country, do you dare say that, we do have Muslim Brotherhood in the White House, and we have talked about this before? Yeah, we do have Muslim Brotherhood in the White House. And then the brilliant John Kerry came out with a comment that didn't rest too well with the administration over in Egypt, specifically the foreign minister. Kerry condemned Tuesday's suicide bombing in Mansour that killed 16 people and then the Thursday bombing that wounded 5, but expressed concern about the interim Egyptian government's December 25th terrorist designation of the Muslim Brotherhood. And he doesn't like the recent detentions and arrests. Well, there you go. How do you tell a country that has gone back and forth with different parties, obviously, but has always had a Muslim Brotherhood problem stemming from the 40s, if not before that, I'm sorry, the 20s? The 20s, yeah, 20s, because the Muslim Brotherhood was founded in 1928. So how do we even say something remotely that, okay, there can be no place for violence in Egypt and that the Egyptian people deserve peace and calm? That comes from our State Department. But to not back the current military regime, kick them around for a second. We'll be back after our first break.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Go, Caleb!
Come on, hit a homer, Jesse!
Let's go, guys!
Hey, did you guys know that kids who play sports earn more money when they grow up?
Of course. I knew that.
Hey, did you guys know that kids who read books have a bigger vocabulary?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Wow, jinx. Did you guys know that friendly children have more friends?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. I knew that. Did you guys know that winter babies are better at music?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Obvious.
Oh, hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
Huh. I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure I knew that.
I'm pretty sure you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
One goat can make the difference between nourishment and hunger. One goat can make the difference between poverty and sustained income. In the war-torn areas of southern Sudan, one goat can make the difference between life and death. Find out how you can help. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.org. That's goats, F-O-R, theoldgoat.org. Fighting hunger, one goat at a time.
Hi, this is Dave Vance inviting you to join me every Monday night for Inside Tennessee on conservativenationmedia.com. Even if you're not from the volunteer state, you'll want to know what's happening because one day it will affect you. Every week you'll hear interviews with experts, legislators, and citizens who are fed up and making a stand. So join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central Time for Inside Tennessee on conservativenationmedia.com.
Welcome back to Daily Roll Call on conservativenationmedia.com. I am your host, Kathy Hinners. Our number to call in is 718-305-7176. And if you're not, like, remotely riled up about this, you should be. And, a lot of people are probably saying, how does it affect me? That's over there. Well, if you haven't been paying attention and you haven't been listening, it is here. And it is here in large numbers. A couple of weeks ago, we went over not just the different Muslim Brotherhood organizations in the country, but who the people are in the White House, one being Mohammed Ali Biari, who is a senior advisor in the United States Department of Homeland Security. Mr. Ali Biari has basically stated that he is Muslim Brotherhood. If you go and you look at his tweets, he doesn't have a secret tweet account, so you can go and you can follow his tweets where he constantly is supporting and standing for the Muslim Brotherhood, even so far as to have the R4 Bia logo on his Twitter account, which we talked about what that is, the R4 Bia sign, the four fingers, usually a yellow background with a black four fingers with the thumb crossed across the palm. And we talked about what that meant. So, you know what? The Muslim Brotherhood is here. And it's in the White House. Now, a lot of people will say, we have a president that is Muslim Brotherhood. If you want to call in and debate that or talk about that, feel free to. I'm not disagreeing with you at all, but I know that there are, and I can name, I believe I did name, about 5 members of the Muslim Brotherhood that are in the White House in different areas. And one of them, interestingly enough, happens just to be working with the OIC, the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, on the defamation of religion law. How does that all fit? So anyway, getting back to what's happening here, we have the fact that we are not, as a country, as an administration, he is not going to deem the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization, even though it fits the criteria, according to our State Department. It certainly does fit the criteria. But before I get into that, we are going to take a quick call here, see who wants to vent about this. So we're going to say, hi, you're on Daily Roll Call.
Hello, how are you?
Hello. I'm great. How are you, sir?
Good. This is your upstate New York wacko.
How are you? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. I don't understand. Last time I called, I was so furious I had to stay away for a couple of weeks.
Oh, that's okay. So what's on your mind tonight?
I'd like to know where the butcher of Benghazi has gone, has suddenly been so quiet, the one who told us that the Muslim Brotherhood was a peaceful democratic organization of good people. That would be who? That's right, our Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton.
Maybe president?
Not by my vote.
Well, not by mine, but 68% of probably Democrats have said she's the pick.
She's the person that declared the Muslim Brotherhood. I think she's the one, too, that said that Iran wanted a nuclear capability for peaceful enterprises. But
yeah.
Why?
Well, we know about that.
Yeah. Why do you suppose if the folks in Egypt declare the Muslim Brotherhood to be a terrorist organization, why then would Barack Hussein Obama have 5 people that we know of working in the White House that are Muslim Brotherhood people? Does anybody think that's strange besides me?
Well, I certainly hope so. But, you know, it's something that I think a lot of people look, and it's a problem over there. You know, the Muslim Brotherhood is over there in the Middle East. They have no idea what it looks like, what the Muslim Brotherhood looks like. And I think a lot of people think that it's like a boogeyman, you know, in the desert on a camel or whatever they want to say, that they couldn't possibly be here except the fact that they wear suits and you know, look just like you and I. But that is part of the plan. And I believe that this administration has been put in place to further that plan along. You know, the Muslim Brotherhood and the ideology of Islam resembles a socialist regime as well. You know, the redistribution of wealth and, you know, all things like that.
Who do you think put Mr. Obama in office? Besides, let's say, Saudi Arabia.
Uh-huh.
Besides that. Who put them in place?
Well, it wasn't the American people.
It was not the American people. No, it was not.
No.
It was his Muslim brothers in the Middle East.
Yeah. I agree with you on that.
This guy can get away with murder. This guy, you can't get his high school transcript. You can't get his opinions in the law review at Harvard. You can't get anything to find out where this guy's position really lies. You don't know where the majority of his donations came from, because that's all privileged information. Where did this guy come from? Do you think he was really born in Hawaii?
That poor woman died, so we'll never know. You know, the woman that was, I think she was, the clerk of the court or something in Hawaii that had the access to his records, died in a plane crash 2 weeks ago. So
imagine.
I guess we'll never have that. Yeah, imagine that. But now the conspiracy theorists are scratching their head, like saying, "Oh, she's going that way." But I truly believe that he was not elected the first time, and I certainly do not believe he was elected the second time. I just don't believe it. I think George Soros and the billions that he has, along with the Saudi money. In order to make this caliphate work, you have to have the backing of the government, and that's exactly what they've done. Because now anything that anyone tries to do in this country, as far as perhaps maybe a state declaring the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist organization, it isn't going to happen because we're surrounded with it. We have Eric Holder and Tom Perez, who's right underneath him. I mean, we're surrounded by the ilk of the Muslim Brotherhood. So I don't see us... even perhaps having a fair election in 2016.
Never going to happen.
That's just my thought. No, I don't believe it will. A lot of people have said that, you know, he's like the king, he's dictating. Well, he is dictating, but behind every other crisis, there is something that he's doing. For example, when the whole Duck Dynasty thing was going on, he was signing the order, the NDAA, the detaining of American citizens for indefinite periods of time. Now, you know, that's all well and good, but it was done under, you know, nobody was paying attention because we're all listening to Phil Robertson. So, you know, or they do it on a weekend or, you know, Sunday night or, you know, not a great news day. So, let me ask you this. You're from upstate New York.
Mm-hmm.
What have you got for Muslim Brotherhood organizations up there?
You know, I really don't know anything. The only thing I do know of, a little town outside of Binghamton, New York, called Islamburg. And folks can get on their computer and they can look up Islamburg, B-U-R-G. Islamburg is a Muslim training center right outside the town of Binghamton, New York. The state police won't even go there. Under Taki, who was a really decent, moderate Republican governor, but certainly not under President-elect Andrew Cuomo, the president of New York State. Islamburg is a Muslim jihadist training center. Go to your computers, look up Islamburg, and you'll see there's 16 or 18 of these places around the country. The federal government watches them. The FBI knows they exist. What do? Nothing.
No, you're right. It's and there's one here in Dover, Tennessee. So I thought I was getting away from the one in Binghamton, and then I move, and it's Islamville here in Dover, Tennessee. So, yeah,
right.
It's you're right.
Nice little microcosm, America. Islamville,
yes,
Islamburg, Islamtown. Beautiful.
Beautiful. Well, I have an assignment for you. You need to look at some of the mosques that you have. You know, try Googling what mosques are in your area, wherever you are, and then let me know the names of those mosques, and we are going to find out exactly who they are and what their affiliations are. So there's your assignment, sir, for the next week.
I will Google that, and I will report
all right.
I appreciate that. More versed in this than I am. If I become a Muslim under Sharia law, do I have to pay taxes?
No. Well, no interest. That is called riba, which is usury. So you would pay taxes, but it's in a different form, and you would not pay interest. However, the interest is kind of just rolled into the payment, so your payment would be higher, but it wouldn't be called necessarily interest. That's what they say, but, you know, who knows what the banks are doing.
If I became a Muslim, then I could beat my wife, and I could murder my daughter in the name of honor.
Yeah, there you go.
Good. Well, that seals the deal.
All kinds of things. Yes, exactly.
That's the deal. Okay. And I could still be a loving person then, right?
You are, well, I from what I know of you, I believe that you probably wouldn't beat your wife because she probably beat you to the punch and beat you first. So.
But not if I was a Muslim.
Not if you were a Muslim.
A loving, caring person. No.
That
a religion of love.
Yes. Hey, I got to take a quick break. Do you want to stay on hold for a few minutes, or you done for the night?
I would love to.
All right. I'll put you on hold. Okay. Let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationmedia.com, you're a conservative, you love America just like we do, and you don't want to get short in case a leftist government drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline to those essentials is right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds starting right now. Go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution where America always wins.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today. With an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, and thank you for your service.
Hi, I'm Ryan Seacrest for RAD. Over 300 people in this country are killed every week by a drunk driver. That's the equivalent of 2 747 plane crashes every single week. And the problem isn't going away unless we all do our part to stop it. So if you see someone who's about to drive after drinking, get the keys. Don't leave it up to anyone else. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Adopting a new pet is a rewarding experience. And Shelter Pets make super pets. Your new best friend will steal your heart, bring you happiness, and enrich your life for years to come. You can make a difference in the life of an animal. Adopt and bring home a Shelter Pet today. To find out more, visit theshelterpetproject.org. This message has been brought to you by the Humane Society of the United States, Maddie's Fund, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to conservativenationmedia.com. This is Daily Roll Call, and I am your host, Kathy Henners. Give us a call, 718-305-7176. And we were talking to upstate New York, and he was kind of telling us what he thinks about the Muslim Brotherhood and how we have Islamburg up in outside of Binghamton, New York, which is basically a terrorist training camp For those of you that have listened before, they are a nasty group of people that live at that compound. But I gave him a project. Let's see if he does it. He's got to go find some mosques in his area, and then we're going to find out who's in those mosques and what affiliations they have with the Muslim Brotherhood. And I'm willing to bet you we will have connections to the Muslim Brotherhood, no doubt. So we're going to check in on that in a little bit. In New York, stay tight for a few minutes. We've got a few things to clear up here. Before we go in any further on this Muslim Brotherhood thing, I was saying that the State Department says there's three things that constitute or, you know, are the criteria for someone or a group to be designated as a foreign terrorist organization. First, they have to be foreign, go figure, which basically the hub and the senior leaders of the Muslim Brotherhood are in Qatar. But we know the home base basically is Egypt. It must threaten U.S. nationals or national security. Okay. Yep, it certainly is threatening our national security since this country is loaded with them. So certainly I would have to say that we are. And even abroad with our troops fighting over in Afghanistan and, you know, Iraq, the Muslim Brotherhood certainly is in bed with al-Qaeda. So there you go. And then the last is to qualify as a FTO or foreign terrorist organization. They have to engage in terrorist activity or retain the capability and intention to engage in terrorist activity. Whew. Well, there you go. So why wouldn't we say that the Muslim Brotherhood, why wouldn't we jump on that and say the Muslim Brotherhood was in fact a terrorist organization? Now, I'm just saying that's a rhetorical question because it really, I mean, I know why, and I would hope that you would know why. But I think that you need to call in and tell me why. 718-305-7176. So we've kind of talked about what's happening in Egypt, you know, how the Muslim Brotherhood members and leaders are being detained and jailed. We don't know if they're being killed or not, but we can only surmise that there's things like that. You know, they're being beaten and whatever. Yeah, who cares? And then we talked about the reaction of this administration or the lack of the certainly of any type of worthwhile conversation that's happening about this. There has been no declaration by the United States of America as far as the Muslim Brotherhood being declared a terrorist organization. Now, bringing it home, we have the Muslim Brotherhood. We talk about this all the time. We are loaded with Muslim Brotherhood. Okay, so we talked about the five names that we could talk about that are in the White House alone. Now, what's interesting is how that affects us here. You know, I mean, what are the groups that are here? And we know that the groups are here. We know who they are. But something that's really, really interesting is there's a guy named Sami Al-Arain who has been under house arrest, basically, since his incarceration. He was convicted in the Holy Land Foundation trial, which we've talked about before, which happened in Dallas, Texas, and it was all about CARE, the Council on American-Islamic Relations, and their dealings with Hamas and supporting Hamas, the terrorist activity. Sami Al-Arain was one of those people that was found to be supporting this these organizations, and was jailed. He was convicted and jailed, and now he's under, I guess it's house arrest, which we all know what house arrest is like. It's probably, you know, probably not any worse off than the federal prisons. But anyway, what's interesting about that is Mr. Al-Arain has surfaced and is now being seen with some other CARE members as part of the Egypt Freedom Foundation. And he was just participating. Well, he actually didn't speak, but he was attending some briefings that were held on Capitol Hill. Now, mind you, we have known Muslim Brotherhood members here in America, testifying on Capitol Hill how we need to help Egypt and how we need to help them form what they consider to be a democracy. Are you kidding me? The guy's under house arrest. He was convicted. He was jailed. He is still under, I believe they haven't finished charging him yet at some point. He is a co-conspirator. So here he is on Capitol Hill. So this is what, and he admits it. There was an affidavit taken by him from him in May of 2008 for the Holy Land Foundation trial in which he states, "My direct familiarity and involvement with the Muslim Brotherhood occurred from the fall of 78 until about the end of 1982. And then he wasn't sure how much he had to do with the Muslim Brotherhood until like 83. So anyway, they have this event, this new group comes out, this new foundation comes out, and they have actually a couple of events. And another gentleman by the name of Ahmed Badir, who's from Florida, made several references stating his foundation's effort is not about supporting Morsi or the Brotherhood, but about the democratic process and the damage done by removing a legitimately elected president. Well, geez, that certainly would sound like a legit, you know, forum to take. Of course that sounds legit. Everybody talks about the democratic process and, you know, how could they have removed him? He was elected. He's Muslim Brotherhood. He's a terrorist. All right, so here we got these two terrorists here in this country. One's probably got an ankle bracelet and the other one doesn't, but probably should. So what they're doing is they're on Capitol Hill lobbying Congress to reverse Morsi's ouster. That was their main focus of the Egypt Freedom Foundation's agenda. Ahmed Badir made repeated references to meetings with members of the House and Senate last week. "We've been up here all week with this delegation meeting members of Congress, meeting members of the Senate, meeting different think tanks to share with them the perspective." What perspective? You're a terrorist. You don't have a perspective. Or at least you shouldn't have a perspective. ConservativeNationMedia.com is growing, and we couldn't think of a better way to expand our lineup than to give our very own Bing Fisher his very own show. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and love of America to American by Design Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com. So stay with Conservative Nation Media 7 days a week since we're making some big changes and we're just getting started. American by Design with Bing Fisher, Sundays at 6 Eastern, 5 Central, on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. All right, so I guess I'm having a really hard time with understanding how the Muslim Brotherhood is all over the place in this country. So now they're just walking in, visiting Congress, having meetings with the senators, and going to different think tanks to share their perspective and say, "You have to help us because we believe in the democratic process." But they don't mention Sharia law. That's their form of democracy. But they don't talk about that. No. Badir and his CARE allies still envision Morsi's reinstatement as president. Will it ever happen? I don't know. I don't know. It just boggles my mind to think that we would even have anything to do and that the Muslim Brotherhood would start coming out and coming forward in Congress and in the Senate. Country just said they are terrorists. I surprise myself, but then I don't surprise myself. It's just ridiculous. You know, just when I think you hear everything, you know, you turn around and you're like, oh, well, I should have known. The Egypt Freedom Foundation had about 30 people at a follow-up event at Nova Community College in Annandale, Virginia. They had another session at the Mosque Foundation, go figure, outside of Chicago. The mosque, the same mosque, mind you, that raised $50,000 for Al-Aryan's defense in 2004. This mosque has been described by the Chicago Tribune, which, hold on to your pants for this one, as home to leaders who have condemned Western culture, praised Palestinian suicide bombers, and encouraged members to view society in stark terms. Muslims Against the World. That is the very mosque that gave $50,000 for Sami Al-Aryan's defense in 2004 when this whole thing with CARE and the Holy Land Foundation trial was going on. He was indicted. He was doing jail time. He's got a, you know, he's homeschooling. Same thing. He's under house arrest. He's Muslim Brotherhood. He admits he's Muslim Brotherhood. Now he's teaming up with another Muslim Brotherhood character, Ahmed Badir, and going to our Congress and our Senate to complain about we should be helping them out to get their democratic world back. Also present at the mosque event was Tariq Ramadan. And I will explain to you who exactly Tariq Ramadan is when we come back from this break.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
Hey everybody, Rachel Ray here. Nothing puts a bigger smile on my face than cooking up a big meal for family and friends. But there's not enough room at my table for the 17 million kids in America who are struggling with hunger. These children, that's one out of every five, often have to skip meals because there's just nothing to eat in the kitchen. Yet there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food produced right here in America to feed every last hungry child. If only there was a way to get it to them. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food to give hope to hungry kids and their families all across our country. But they can't do it without your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America at your local food bank and at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Are you struggling with your mortgage payments? Call 888-995-HOPE to talk one-on-one with a housing expert about your options. Or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Dr. Martin Luther King said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere, and the worst injustice imaginable is the wrongful conviction of an innocent person. I'm Sam Thurman, host of A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com. We take a look at what happens when innocent people go to jail as a result of bad evidence, wrongful prosecution, and dishonest witnesses. We use real cases of actual Americans who've been wrongfully convicted. A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays 8 Eastern, 7 Central, conservativenationmedia.com.
Welcome back to Daily Roll Call on conservativenationmedia.com. I am Kathy Hinners. Number to call us is 718-305-7176. And we are talking about the whole debacle over in Egypt with the Muslim Brotherhood being declared a terrorist organization, and yet somehow this administration in our country has given them a free pass. So we were talking about the event that was held at a mosque in outside of Chicago that had donated $50,000 to Sami Al-Aryan's defense back in 2004 when he was being tried for basically supporting Hamas and its terrorist ties to other Hezbollah and all those others. So Tariq Ramadan was also at this event. Tariq Ramadan just happens to be the grandson of Hassan al-Banna, who is the founder of the Muslim Brotherhood. Oh my God, it's like this dizzy cyclone. It's like this, it's just ridiculous. Now this character, Tariq Ramadan, wasn't allowed in the United States for years because he was funding Hamas. He was found to be financially funding Hamas. So he wasn't allowed in this country. But then Hillary Clinton decided that she would reinstate his visa, and now he is back. I believe he lives in France most of the time, but he is now in this country, back to, I'm sure, funding the same things the rest of these animals are funding. So there you go. You know, now you're talking this group of people, Ahmed Badir, whose brother Now, this Badir lives in Florida. His other brother was in Egypt, lived in Egypt. He was part of the protest during the Arab Spring, and he was shot and killed. So he's related to a protester, you know, that was the coup, pro-Morsi. He gets shot and killed, and now this is his brother's whole claim to fame is that my brother was killed in Egypt during this whole terrible thing, and, you know, now we just want to have the United States help us reinstate democracy. Democracy, my foot. It's called Sharia law, people. All right, but anyway, now that the Muslim Brotherhood has been designated a terrorist organization in Egypt, we're starting to see those aligned with the Muslim Brotherhood in this country coming out. And I already told you, Mohammed Ali Biari, who is the senior advisor in the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, has no problem taking to the tweets. And I'm not Bugs Bunny saying take it to the tweets. I'm taking it to the tweets, Twitter. He has no problem with that. He has no problem telling people on his Facebook page. He has no problem having his picture taken with Tariq Ramadan, the founder or the grandson of the founder of the Muslim Brotherhood. No problem. He hasn't come out and outwardly admitted it, but he all but says it. Actions speak louder than words sometimes. And when he put the R4B sign up as his logo on his Twitter account, you had to know he was Muslim Brotherhood. And he also has stated that he knows the United States of America will be an Islamic state. How is this guy in the White House? Is this not treason? I don't get it. I don't know. But anyway, so how does this affect the Muslim Brotherhood front groups that are here in this country? We've talked about them before. You got to know who a lot of them are, a lot of the mosques and so on. They're all Muslim Brotherhood. So how does it affect here? This administration clearly has no intention of doing the same thing as saying they're terrorists. He supports the Morsi regime. So how does that make it easier for these groups that formerly denied being affiliated with the Muslim Brotherhood to now feel empowered? All the groups that are here in this country that we've ragged about, that I write about, that I spew about every week, denied being some sort of affiliate or partner with the Muslim Brotherhood because they couldn't. But now it seems that they have this empowered. Are they in essence being protected? What do you think? Is the Muslim Brotherhood, the fact that we refuse to name them a terrorist organization and we just keep aiding them, we keep sending them, 16 or 30 or some number, F-16 fighters? What are we, crazy? We're arming the Muslim Brotherhood, who we know has a big play right now in Syria. We know that they're joining Al-Qaeda in Syria. So we keep funding them, though. We keep supporting them. But the ones here in America, now that this administration, hey, they're not so bad, hey, I support them, they're starting to feel empowered, and rightfully so. They're being protected. We've talked about a lot of these front groups, from the Islamic Network Group, ING, which is based in California, which has speakers bureaus throughout the United States. A lot of them are known as AMAC, the American Muslim Advisory Council. If you have a paper and pen nearby, you need to be writing these things down because you need to start doing your homework and finding out who these people are in your states, in your cities, in your towns, because they're everywhere. If you have a mosque in your little town, chances are you got Muslim Brotherhood. You got a little MSA, Muslim Student Association, at your college, you got a real problem. So the Speakers Bureau, known as AMAC, and AMAC is in Illinois as well as in Tennessee, the American Muslim Advisory Council, is part of the Speakers Bureau of the Islamic Network Group. Now, this is where I think people get buggy, because it's like, oh, my God, she's throwing so many things at me, and I just don't know what. Well, I'm going slow. The Islamic Network Group is in California. They train law enforcement, school administrators and teachers, healthcare officials, and the media. They train them to understand what Islam is all about. Where's your separation of church and state there? Local law enforcement's an arm of the government. You got some Islamic group in there teaching them about their religion. They say culture, but you know that culture and religion are the same thing. How do they get away with that? Schools, public schools? Come on, people. So you've got your speakers bureaus that are all over the country. Your Muslim student associations, which are the number two friend listed on the Muslim, let's say we'll call it the Muslim Brotherhood Manifesto, but really it's the strategic goal for North America. The Muslim Brotherhood was founded in 1963 in Illinois as an arm of the Muslim Brotherhood to bring Dawah, which is the proselytizing of Islam, into the campuses across the country to bring awareness of Islam to students at an impressionable age. Brilliant. Brilliant. They're very patient. They're very smart people. But they're here. Now you've got your Muslim student associations being formed as legitimate clubs in high schools. Legitimate clubs, because, hey, you know, every other entity, every other, you know, whether it's a religion or, you know, your chess club or your arts and crafts, hey, they've all got a club, so us Muslims need a club. The only problem is their club is dead serious. The Muslim Student Association has some of the most radical of radical Islamists involved in their organization, because that's what they do. Their goal is to use dawah to proselytize Islam to everyone in hopes that they'll reach a few little morons that don't have their stuff together to begin with that might say, oh, Islam, yeah, I'm going to go for that. That's the goal. And you know who that exactly happened to? Was one of the 9/11 bombers, Muhammad Atta, started going to one of these groups, started listening to what they had to say, and decided that, oh, this is all for him. And then you know what the result of his training was. But now they're in high schools. The Muslim Student Association is a club in high schools. I got a problem with that. Not only do I not want my college kid near this garbage, now you got to worry about your high school student being exposed to this. Mosques, the majority of which are owned or financially backed by ISNA. ISNA is the Islamic Society of North America. That right there should speak volumes to you about what they want to do. The Islamic Society of North America, the number one named friend of the Muslim Brotherhood in the strategic goal for North America. ISNA. Most of the mosques are owned or financially backed by ISNA. Mosques are being erected at record speed, including small towns all across America. The churches can't even keep up. Problem. You need to look at who the imams from these mosques are. Chances are they're direct affiliates of the Muslim Brotherhood. Several schools across the country have been exposed, and we've exposed a lot of it here in Tennessee, for hosting field trips to these mosques where students are made to pray or handed Qurans at the end of the trip. But the fact is that the students in these high schools are going into these mosques and are having to listen to their prayers, and maybe the chances are that they'll convert. So your mosques, you need to find out who your imams in these mosques are. All right, we're going to take our break at the top of the hour here, and we'll be back.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
It is with great pleasure that I welcome you to today's graduation ceremony. Students, when you hear the reason or reasons for your absences throughout the years, please exit the auditorium without your high school diploma. Once you've exited, remove your cap and gown and proceed into the unknown. Too tired. Family trip. Part-time job. Helping around the house. Sick day. Starting the holidays early. Just because.
Starting in the sixth grade, students who miss 18 days or more of school in a year for any reason will fall behind and risk not graduating high school. How many days of school has your child missed this year? Absences add up. Keep track at boostattendance.org today. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
On conservativenationmedia.com. This is Daily Roll Call, and I am your host, Kathy Hinners. Number to call in, 718-305-7176. If you have anything to say about the Muslim Brotherhood, you know, what is happening in Egypt and what's happening here, you need to call in. Don't be shy. You can't be shopping. Christmas is over. So maybe you're preparing for New Year's. Yeah, that's it. You're preparing for New Year's. Anyway, all right, so we're talking about now how we've kind of done this escalation or de-escalation, if you will, from the, you know, overseas, what's happening over in Egypt, to the whole response or lack thereof from this administration, and then how is it happening in this country, you know, how is it affecting us here in this country? And we're talking about the different groups that probably are feeling rather emboldened by this decision of Obama not to call them a terrorist organization. You know, are they being protected by him allowing the Muslim Brotherhood to continue to grow in this country? Are they being protected by the fact that he's not going to name them a terrorist organization? Now, a normal president would have done so, and we would be ridding our country of this disease, of these, I don't even know what you want to call them, boars or mold or whatever you want to call them, known as the Muslim Brotherhood. So we just talked about the fact that the field trips that students are taking in our local schools all across the country, it isn't just here, going to the mosques that are owned or financed by ISNA, the American or the Islamic Society of North America. Oh, that's just swell. What'd you do today, Johnny? I went to a mosque and I had to pray. I'd be heading over to that mosque with everything I own to hand that imam his head. Ain't gonna happen. All right, another organization I speak about often is called the ACO, or the American Center for Outreach. really kind of a interesting title because it doesn't include the word Muslim or Islam in it. So you would just think the American Center for Outreach, oh, that's nice. Well, it's run by a Muslim Brotherhood paramour named Remzia Suleiman. She seems to be making a name for herself nationally. She's been speaking at CARE functions. Now, we all know CARE is Muslim Brotherhood. And her latest function that she spoke at was CARE in Arizona had, what was the name of it? American While Muslim or something like that. She has been to the MSA, the Muslim Student Association, what they call camps, up in Urbana, Illinois, where the Muslim Brotherhood was born, or where the Muslim Student Association was born. And she is participating in a lot of interfaith forums. You know, this is just something that she does, but she is the mistress of the Muslim Brotherhood. Good for them, though, they've chosen a rather immature, not very bright young woman, seeing as that she is on YouTube asking about Sharia law. So she's not probably the best candidate for the Muslim Brotherhood, but we can only hope that they continue to hire these imbeciles to represent them. Connecting Cultures and an organization by the name of Diversity in Dialogue. They present training to school districts across the country under the guise of bullying. Last week we went over the entire report that was issued by CARE of California on bullying, and what we learned was, in fact, that the kids aren't being bullied. The kids just don't have a problem. It's the parents, because the parents need Islam to wiggle its way into the schools, the public schools. So therefore, this is how they conduct the training, under the guise of bullying. You know, when bullying happens, and actually I think that the Muslims are doing it a great disservice by calling it bullying, because there are actual real cases of bullying going on where kids are actually killing themselves. So, of course, you know, we don't condone, we don't support anything to do with that. But in the Islamist case, bullying is being used as a term so that they can get in and do their dawah. So remember, Connecting Cultures and Diversity in Dialogue, they are two nationwide organizations. Now, Connecting Cultures is run by a woman named Luby Ishmael, but she is responsible for conducting training for CARE. See how this works is after CARE is called in on a suit, whether it's for discrimination or profiling, if CARE is called into the equation, they usually sue, and it's not always for money. A lot of times it is, like the Abercrombie and Fitch, you know, was just for money. I think they settled for like $30,000 or something like that. But anyway, their thing is, well, we need to come in to do sensitivity training from this point forward. So CARE comes in and has to do the whatever company it is, let's say Nike. You know, Nike did a bad thing and designed a sneaker that had a logo that looked like the symbol for Allah, so they got their hands slapped, but now CARE does their diversity training. And it comes down to Connecting Cultures, and Luby Ishmael does the training for CARE. So Connecting Cultures and Diversity and Dialogue, two organizations that are in our schools and in our corporate world doing the training. Muslim Brotherhood student organizations such as MIST, which is the Muslim Interscholastic Tournament, was created to bring Muslim students together to excel in Islamic issues, all while doing sports of different types. Well, what kid doesn't want to be in a tournament? Just another way to reel in the non-Muslim to start practicing their proselytizing. It's all about speaking about their own religion to those that are not a Muslim. So you've got MIST, and I can tell you that MIST is in a majority of the large cities in this country. Dallas, New York, Washington, Atlanta, and now Nashville has one. So be mindful of who MIST is. All right, and it's not the soda. It's the Muslim Interscholastic Tournament. Then you have MINT, M-Y-N-T. Now, that particularly is the Muslim Youth Network of Tennessee, but in other states it's probably under a different name, something to do with Muslim youth. So you could look just for something MY and then whatever the last two would be. But you need to know who these organizations are. You need to pay attention to what organizations you have in your own town, because they're there. And you need to know who they are, because we have to start pulling the weeds or stomping them out or killing them with weed be gone, whatever it takes. So you got to learn who's in your own backyard. Mint, most likely in other states under different names, you got to find it out. They host elaborate retreats, and they're promoted to give students the chance to forge stronger ties with their religion and promote the importance of Dawah to non-Muslims. And look, I know somebody out there is saying, well, what's wrong with that? You know, it's sort of like the YMCA or YWCA or, any of the Christian camps or the Jewish camps or whatever. You know, that's all good if they want to forge a stronger tie with their religion. That's wonderful, except that we know that there's usually something more to it. Some of the speakers, some of the guests that attend these retreats with the children are some of the most radical imams in the country. So don't be fooled because it's a retreat. So you need to know, particularly if this retreat is open to all children, not just Muslim children, do you want your child being exposed on a weekend to a radical imam? For instance, one of the one that was held in eastern Tennessee, one of the imams was Suhab Webb. Suhab Webb was from the Boston Islamic Center, where guess who? One of the Tsarnaev brothers, the Boston Bombers, attended. He attended the mosque whose imam was Suhab Webb, whose imam just so happens to go to a lot of these retreats. So if the Tsarnaev brother was radicalized in the mosque in Boston, what do you think is happening to the kids on the retreat? Think about that. ConservativeNationMedia.com starts off the work week every Monday in a big way. It's Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. But even if you're not from the volunteer state, the issues that affect Tennessee are spreading out all over America. Dave Vance brings his veterans insight and the most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday, so make sure to check them out. Brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. That's Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. All right, so we're running down the list here of some of the organizations that are nationwide that you need to start paying attention to see who the Muslim Brotherhood are in your area. So you've got your interfaith forums and your mosques, and certainly, I don't want to say that every single mosque in America is bad, so I'll leave that up to you to decide. But knowing that the majority of them are financed and backed by ISNA, okay, enough said. The Muslim Brotherhood being declared a terrorist organization could have been a tremendous advantage to non-Muslim countries currently being threatened by the imposition of Islamic law and the Islamic way of life. However, here in the United States, it seems to have fortified the very organizations that want to implement it. Sounds a little backwards, doesn't it? I just think that we could have done better, and I'm not quite sure why we aren't doing better. I think it's a total disgrace that this administration has in effect said, you know what, it's okay. You know, they're here to stay, and I believe that they probably are here to stay. We're supporting them, and we're allowing them to grow. So look at who's in your own backyard, people. You need to really start paying attention to who's in your own backyard. The name of your mosque, the name of your imam, the name of any organizations that are coming into your schools, where your kids are going on field trips, who's training your law enforcement, you got to know I have a real problem with that. But it's time, if the government won't do this, if the government won't weed them out and expose them, then it's our job. It's your job. We'll be back after this break.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Okay, so just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay, then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect, Compete, and the Ad Council.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
I'm making beef sliders for my friend Sammy. Nana taught me to always pull meat off the grill early so it's extra juicy.
Use a food thermometer to ensure ground beef is 160 degrees, or you could make people really sick. Sandy didn't think twice about the slider she ate until yoga class, when a nasty case of food poisoning turned her downward-facing dog into upward-moving lunch. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov and learn the steps Maria unwittingly leaves out. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Jennifer Meadows, your host on Grit and Grace. Please join us every Tuesday night from 10 to 12 Eastern for an honest look at the top political and cultural issues that are affecting Americans today. That's Grit and Grace for conservative analysis that is smart and entertaining. Tuesdays, 9 to 11 p.m. Central, 10 to 12 Eastern on conservativenationmedia.com.
Welcome back to Daily Roll Call on conservativenationmedia.com. I'm Kathy Hinners, your host, 718-305-7176. And before I get into a really heavy topic, which is the Organization of Islamic Cooperation's newest report that just came out last week, I got a few emails about Phil Robertson and the, what's a good word to call Jesse Jackson, an idiot? Like, where has he been? So Jesse Jackson decides, like, wakes up, probably in a stupor, and is like, yo, I got to jump on this bandwagon. I can only imagine what Al Sharpton's going to have to say, because it's usually about as stupid as Jesse Jackson. But now Jesse Jackson comes out with this incredible statement that states that what Phil Robertson said is worse than what the driver did to Rosa Parks. And the driver of the bus was acting under state law. Phil Robertson was not. I don't know. Like, is he as bad as his kid that's in jail? I mean, has he been, like, is it osmosis that the brain cells are dying from his son into their father? I mean, what is his point? There's nothing racial. He might have picked up about something that was said in reference to blacks in his GQ interview. I'm not sure. I did not read that part of the interview. I know there was something that said to the effect that blacks are happy in the South. Whatever. But for this guy to come out, who's supposed to be some, you know, diplomat, you know, Jesse Jackson has done some good things. He has been involved in the release of prisoners, you know, internationally. He has done some good things. But then he goes and he ruins it by like doing something stupid like this, like I got to get on the Duck Dynasty bandwagon. Like, what are you thinking? So we, you know, we visited that whole topic last week, where what he said was, you know, about that homosexuality was against the Bible, and he quoted the Bible. So we talked about it last week, and I just made my point that, you know, gays and lesbians, okay. Transgenders and bis, not so much okay. But A&E had made a mistake, a big mistake. So did Cracker Barrel. But now Jesse Jackson is demanding a meeting within 72 hours from his statement, which I think was 2 days ago. He wants a meeting immediately with the heads of the A&E, the Arts and Entertainment Network, and the CEOs of Cracker Barrel. Who does this guy think he is? I really hope that they don't entertain his complaint. I mean, this is just stupidity. This whole Duck Dynasty thing has just been ridiculous. I mean, enough is enough. A&E, they got, you know, spanked. I don't think they'll ever be the same. I don't know that they can recoup from this. They are showing the show. I believe they're in reruns. I don't know how they're going to recoup from this. I don't know if they can. I hope another network picks them up. But anyway, they made a knee-jerk reaction because GLAAD, which is more of a radical gay rights group, came out and spanked them. But a lot of gays have pulled away and said, well, wait a minute. It had nothing to do with that. He was speaking about the Bible, and he quoted the Bible, and it's his right. So anyway, A&E made a huge mistake, and then Cracker Barrel goes and does the same thing by removing all the Duck Dynasty and Duck Commander, you know, products from their shelves, which really caused a problem for Cracker Barrel. So the only thing left to say about that is the only good thing I think that came out of this whole debacle was the fact that a sleeping giant is starting to awaken. I think it's called Christianity, and the freedom to practice Christianity, which has been under attack now for a long time. We all know about Christmas being under attack. And I'll just share this with you. Some lady in a store checking out the other day said, "Happy holidays." And I simply just said, "What holiday?" And she said, "Well, Christmas." I said, "Well, Merry Christmas then." Like, duh, what other, you know, like, it's not Happy 4th of July. So the look on her face was kind of priceless, like I just duped her, you know, like I just stole something, you know. It was just silly. But come on, you know. So that's the whole premise of the whole thing with Duck Dynasty. It's, you know, the freedom to express even the fact that you're a Christian, which is not very popular these days. So that's that on the Phil Robertson. So if you've got anything to say about what Jesse Jackson and his 2 cents, you know, sticking in his 2 cents like a day late and a dollar short, then give us a call, 718-305-716. Now we are going to just get into the last 35 minutes of the show. I just want to talk about the OIC report, the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. We talked about this last week and the week before. Because all of a sudden, all of these reports are coming out about the movement and how quick this law they want to be implemented. And the law is the Defamation of Religion Law. Now, there is a big, long other name, official name to this law that I just can't see going into again. It's a very long blah, blah, blah type law. So this report that has come out now, there was a report, what was it, 2 weeks ago, because we actually looked at that report, we read the report, and we broke it down as who was involved at the actual table to get this whole law written and, you know, basically together. So that was a couple weeks ago. Well, boom, today, another report was released by the OIC. It is called the Sixth OIC Observatory Report on Islamophobia, and it covers from October 2012 through September of 2013 and was released on December 11th of this year. It's like these people have nothing else to do, like there's no other problems in the world. But anyway, it's a rather lengthy report. I will have it available probably tomorrow on dailyrollcall.com. Go to the Documents tab on my website, and it will be there. There is, at this time, the actual UN Resolution 1618 is already there. You should be reading that to understand what this law is talking about. All right, so this new report comes out, and it is a long, long, long report because there's a lot of, like, different reports of different meetings that they've had, you know, interim meetings and things like that. But it just goes on and on and on about Islamophobia. And it mainly focuses on Islamophobia in the United States and in Europe. In the case of the U.S., a country that takes pride in being a land of immigrants and tolerant of people of all faiths and beliefs, the report identifies individuals and groups who are self-proclaimed anti-Islam campaigners. Anti-Islam campaigners. Okay. These individuals use their high-profile connections, including U.S. legislators and media personalities, to propagate negative stereotypes about Muslims, which leads to increased discrimination against them. I don't see discrimination. Don't see it. Like I said last week, you know, if there has been no other religion that has had the red carpet rolled out for them and welcomed them, so I'm not quite sure. And we've got the proof of the bullying report that they came out with that showed clearly it wasn't the kids. So anyway, this report goes on. It says, today's hate speech as well as discrimination and violence based on religion or belief is high on the agenda of the international diplomacy, including the OIC. Well, well, well. Beyond the OIC track, the organization hosted the third Istanbul process meeting on the following of the implementation of HRC Resolution 1618 in Geneva in June of 2013. That was a meeting that we broke down some time ago. The meeting reiterated the need for the international community to take a common stand and work together to combat discrimination and intolerance based on religion or belief. The meeting further insisted on the importance of each of the actions contained in the resolution, including the need to criminalize incitement to imminent violence. Mm-mm-mm. This is not good. In this regard, the platform set up by the continued consensual adoption of Human Rights Council Resolution 1618, both in Geneva and New York, provides with an optimism that perhaps in the near future an agreement could be reached on the threshold of criminalization, which would be an important step in the long way of combating all forms of discrimination and intolerance based on religion and faith, including Islamophobia. I don't know where it says that I have to tolerate anything. And this is what they're trying to criminalize, because I don't want to tolerate you, the Muslim, you forcing your religion down my throat. I don't want to tolerate that. But now they're talking about criminalizing it? This is not good news. And see, the whole time that this all these conventions and all these meetings are going on, and a lot of them went on with Hillary Clinton, and you need to remember that when she runs for president, a lot of these meetings are so quiet that no one knows what's going on behind closed doors. And now all of a sudden, the reports are coming out like nothing else. And that I find very scary. says the sixth report reveals that despite efforts to speak out against Islamophobia, the trend has still been on the rise. The phenomenon has been allowed to amplify as a result of unrestricted campaigns in the United States. With that, I'm going to take a quick break. One of the nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service, 24/7, 365. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. The network may not cover all transactions, and the scopes may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com. Then click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad you did.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf. What about that girl with a hoop earring?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God, Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
My arm, it hurts.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Molon LeVay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase, Molon LeVay, which translated means, come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
Whoa.
The moment my son saw a redwood tree. Is the moment I knew that for him?
You can't even see the top of that thing!
Even the sky has no limit.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Daily Roll Call on conservativenationmedia.com. I am Kathy Hinners, your host, and we are now talking about the Organization of Islamic Conference, the Defamation of Religion Law. We have talked about this before, and this report just came out a little over a week ago, the report on Islamophobia, actually. And it's a very lengthy report, but I just want to give you an idea of what they're saying is reason to come up with an international law that would criminalize anyone that would speak ill of Islam or a Muslim. Are you kidding me? Ugh. All right. So there goes, you know, the freedom of speech. Now, let me just see here. All right. It talks about Islamophobia in the United States. Anti-Muslim hate crimes and other incidents of discrimination against Muslims remained prevalent in the U.S. Furthermore, anti-Muslim sentiments were particularly reflected during the U.S. presidential election and in the aftermath of the Boston bombings, which generated further Islamic rhetoric and discriminatory behavior towards Muslims or perceived Muslims. Ugh. So now they're not even just including Muslims, anybody, you know, if you perceive someone to be a Muslim. This is just such a stretch. but yet they're doing it, and they're doing it brilliantly. They're coming out with all of these reports. They're finding every incident that occurs, from a silly name calling to somebody tugging on a hijab. The problem is that the figures, the poll figures, aren't matching what the parents or what these Islamists are saying. You know, kids are kids. They're not going to have a problem unless they're beat up or, you know, it's really legitimately bullying. I think one of the questions was, has anyone ever tugged or pulled on your hijab offensively? And I think it was 87% said never. How do you, I won't get back into how do you pull a hijab offensively. But anyway, so they're coming out with more and more reports. A lot of these crimes are made up or self-inflicted. And this is where law enforcement needs to step in and take a close look when they're arriving at the scene of a crime that supposedly was perpetrated by a non-Muslim and they want it to be construed a hate crime. You need to actually step back at what actually occurred. Does it match what they're saying? And I can tell you from one of the things here in the Nashville area, when they said a mosque was vandalized and supposedly this drunk kid who they caught in his underwear in the parking lot had gone in and vandalized this mosque. Only problem is, when you look at the pictures of the destruction that he caused, the mosque's pictures that wasn't the police photos, were pictures from the mosque. All the Qurans were lined up in order, very neatly. Now, some kid who's been drinking all night, who only has his underwear on, goes in to destroy a mosque, isn't going to take the time to lay out Qurans. Sorry. Just doesn't happen like that. A lot of these crimes are being self-inflicted. They're setting their own fires. They're having their women call and say that they were harassed. They're doing these crimes to make them, again, the victim. Hence, then, you have a defamation of religion law. Now, do crimes happen against them? Of course. Do crimes happen against Christians and Jews? Of course. But this is being completely taken out of proportion so that they can have a law so that people can't tell the truth about what is really happening. So that means books written about Islam, shows like this, blogs, you name it. If you talk about Islam, it's going to be a criminal offense. This is dangerous. It's a very slippery slope. That's just not good. They talk about Pamela Geller. They talk about Robert Spencer, David Horowitz, all the people that have been known to lash out against what is really happening. You know, the first thing I think that set this whole thing off after 9/11 was the fact that shortly after 9/11, they decided to build a huge mosque across the street from where it occurred. You don't do that. There was a mosque there. There had always been a mosque there. It's a Burlington coat factory. It was an old building. It was a one-story or two-story building. But that wasn't good enough. They wanted to erect a several-story monstrosity that would actually throw a shadow over the grounds of 9/11. I got a problem with that. So then they talk about the Islamophobia that occurred in the aftermath of the Boston bombings. Really, I didn't know that. Guess what? They were Muslims. They killed Americans. They didn't like Americans. They were radicalized in a mosque in Boston. So what's untrue about that? Says major Muslim organizations in the U.S. released prompt statements condemning the bombings and they expressed their anger over the Boston explosions, condemning its perpetrators and calling for their swift apprehension. Well, that was, you know, like one was already dead. And that's really mighty big of them to come out and condemn it. That's, I mean, what are we supposed to, you know, think that's the greatest thing in the world because they come out and they condemn? Words are words. However, a surge in Islamophobia followed suit, starting with Fox News, in which one of the contributors referred to the Muslims, tweeted, "Yes, they're evil. Let's kill them all." He later deleted his tweet, calling it sarcasm. In subsequent tweets, he called critics of the kill comment idiots, Islamic apologists, worms and vermin. Okay. And then it just goes on about all the different things that are happening to them here, all the different, you know, injustices that happen on TV, and all these things are in particular came out of the Boston, right after the Boston bombing. A Bangladesh man was beaten hours after the Boston bombing by attackers who called him an effing Arab. The victim was punched in the head and body, resulting in a dislocated shoulder. Okay. A 10-year-old boy identified as Yusuf said that when he arrived at his Ohio school after the attack, he was asked questions by classmates regarding his family. During a class discussion on the attacks, another student asked Yusuf, would he blow up the school? The teacher, who did not understand his reply, pulled him aside and held him back until his school locker was checked. Well, okay, that might be a bit much, but, you know, a 10-year-old kid, but, you know, nothing is sacred in Islam. They use 10-year-olds. These babies. Appearing on Fox News talk show Hannity on the night of April 22nd, right-wing columnist Ann Coulter said that she would like to see the alleged bomber's widow in jail, too, not for committing a crime, but for wearing a hijab. Okay, I guess we get it. And they go on about Islamophobia in Europe. But they fail to mention the two Muslims that slaughtered and hacked to death a British soldier on the streets and then stood there in front of a camera, like with blood all over the place. They forget that. All right. America is still the freest country on earth, and those of us who love America know that the Constitution is the reason for our liberties. ConservativeNationMedia.com isn't going to let those leftists in D.C. take our freedom away, and our constitutional expert, Matthew Olpowski, is leading the charge. Join Matthew every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, for the Liberty and Constitution community to learn about our rights and freedoms under the greatest governing document of all time and what you can do to protect your liberty under the Bill of Rights. The Liberty and Constitution community with Matthew Olpowski, Thursdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. All right, so real quick, we're just breaking down the OIC's latest report that was released on December 13th of this year, or December 11th of this year, and it just goes for pages. It talks about the incidents that are occurring in the UK, in Switzerland, Australia, Germany. I mean, you name it, every country. And see, I think if you take a look at this report and you look and you read as they go through every country that is fighting against Islam, they have a problem. So it isn't just America. It isn't just Americans saying, no, thank you. It's the whole world is saying, no, thank you. Recognizing Islam as a religion is biting the butt of every country that has accepted it. There's no getting around that. That's just the way it is. Accepting it as what they said it was, as a peaceful religion, is biting him in the butt. And it certainly is biting us in the butt. It isn't necessarily a religion. It's a political way of life. A lot of their scholars will tell you that. It is a whole way of life. It is a doctrine that dictates from how they brush their teeth in the morning to how they have sex, how they handle domestic affairs, how they spend their money, how much money they pay for things. It's in every aspect of your life. So it isn't just a matter of being a religion. All right, we're going to take our final break of the night. We'll be right back.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
feels like you're frozen, petrified. You're struggling with your mortgage payments. The bills begin to pile up. Not knowing what to do, you do nothing at all. And that's the worst thing you can do. Because if you take action, if you do something about your mortgage problems, you're far more likely to get the most positive outcome. Making Home Affordable is a free government program. Call 888-995-HOPE to talk one-on-one with a housing expert about the options that are right for you. Real help, real answers, right now. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov and do something about your mortgage problems. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
I don't believe it. My savings are gone.
Okay, think. Where'd you have them last?
I was home, then I spent them on that vacation and this tiny suit of armor. Now they're gone.
Weird. Weird? Not really. Not saving now means no money later. Put away a few bucks, feel like a million bucks. For free ideas on ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org. Oh, I broke his little gauntlet.
Oh, no.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Hello, I am Robert Garding of the New Wives Conservatism radio show, heard on Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central, through conservativenationmedia.com. Being on the air since 2007 from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom, we've helped people become more informed to keep socialists out of the White House and Congress. But that work isn't over yet. Tune in Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on CNN for the New Wives Conservatism radio show, the voice of reason in our unreasonable world.
Welcome back to Daily Roll Call on conservativenationmedia.com. We are going to start wrapping this segment of the show up. And speaking of the New Wise Conservatism show, we've got Robert Garding, who is the host of that show, on the line. Hey, Robert, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing real well so far. I've been enjoying your show because I've been planning a show on the Muslim Brotherhood, and with some of the information you've got, you'd be a great guest.
Well, let's see if we can work that one out. I certainly would love to, but I'll help you out any way I can. So, when are you planning on doing that show?
I'm not really sure. I think it's probably be in a couple of weeks. I'm still trying to collect all the information on that. I've been doing a lot of Googling, and you mentioned that Islamaburg earlier in the show, and I've already been looking up that stuff, so I've been picking up information on that, and I'm just trying to get some information on where all they are in the United States and what they're doing, and how far along into our system they've actually gotten themselves.
Okay.
And I think lot of people would be very, very distressed about it.
As they should be, and I will give you a late Christmas present, and I will send you. I've been to Islamburg on a few occasions, and I will send you whatever I can send you, so that
would
you know
be
what,
cool.
You know, spread the word on your show. That's fine by me. So, I'll send you everything that I can. It's tough to wrap your head around sometimes, you know, to understand that this group is here. It's not in Egypt, but I'll send you the groups to look for, and I'll put together something for you and send it out for you before you're not going to do your show tomorrow, but I'll have it out to you over the next few days.
Well, that'd be cool.
Excellent.
That
what are you talking
really
about
cool.
tomorrow? Do you know yet?
Well, it's pretty much the same darn thing. I'm going to hit something on the Muslim Brotherhood tomorrow, because we're going to be talking about John Kerry and the deal that Obama made with Islam. Iran, and how that is actually bad for the United States, not good, like they're trying to make us think it is.
I've just got all
kinds of things, and it's the same thing as last week. You know, it seems like you just start going out and thinking, well, how am I going to find enough to fill 2 hours? And next thing you know, you got it full, and you're trying to figure out, what do I got cut out now?
You're absolutely right. Like, we could use, like, 3 hours or 4 hours almost, you know?
Yeah.
But, I'm glad that you're speaking about it, because it certainly is, you know, has to do with our Constitution, you know, and what they're doing. So it certainly fits, you know, it fits your show, certainly. So I'll get you some stuff, Robert. And did you have a nice Christmas?
Oh, I absolutely did. You?
Oh, absolutely. Yep. It was nice. I'm glad it's over. You know, my tree is down. And
yeah, me too.
But it was great. So, but I appreciate you, you know, being here all night, and I will put you back on hold. And I'll be listening to you tomorrow, and I'll get you some stuff out, okay?
Okay, thanks a lot. You had a great
all
show
right.
tonight.
Thanks, Robert. Talk to you soon.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye. Okay, we've been talking to Robert Garding of the New Wives Conservatism Show, which is on Saturday afternoons, and good show. I do listen to him when I can on Saturdays, and it's really a very enlightening show about the Constitution. So certainly, you know, with him reaching out about the Muslim Brotherhood topic will be huge. So just to wrap up what we've been talking about here with the OIC, their conclusion is it is time for the OIC to conduct a credible research on the individuals and on their agenda of intolerance of Islam and Muslims, and disseminate the findings through all available means, in particular the social media. The OIC and the member states should not be complacent in underscoring the fact that our present-day world is gradually being driven towards the dangerous precipices of growing intolerances of religious and cultural diversity. This is the clear and present danger that the OIC has been consistent in warning the international community against. The sooner the phenomenon of Islamophobia is addressed, the better it is for ensuring peaceful coexistence of the present as well as for future generations to come. So if you can't see what they're doing, if you cannot see what they're doing, then you need your head examined, because they're laying this path of the world would be a better place if people didn't speak the truth about what they're doing. And we will be having a show coming up about the Muslim persecution of Christians. I won't tell you the guest, but I think next Friday, if we have agreed to the date, I will be having a guest that appears on Fox News very often. She is an expert on persecution of Christians, particularly in her country of Iraq. And hopefully she'll be joining us next week as we start, which I promised you, we're going to start to have guests come back on and start discussing a lot of things in the new year. So hopefully that will be next week. We can talk about all the Christians that have been killed, including this week. Several thousand of them have been killed throughout the world, all in the hands of Islam, peaceful Islam. So we'll be talking about that. I will be having on a gentleman that is a Coptic Christian who can firsthand speak to you about this persecution of Christians. We will be having some folks on talking about, hold on guys, female genital mutilation. I know that sounds like a horrible topic, but it is something that is happening here in the United States. I will be having on a very special gentleman who has spent the majority of his life in Indonesia with his family, who is now back in the United States and really can't believe to the extent that things are happening in this country. He's going to be joining us, as well as an expert on Sharia finance. That also is happening in your local banks, most likely. The latest to join that whole mess with Islamic financing is HSBC. They are offering now Sharia-compliant products as well. I know that my friend from New York had called in earlier and had talked about whether they can pay taxes or interest, basically. And you're going to learn a lot about that, because basically it is the rule that they do not pay interest, but it isn't because they just skip out on the interest. It's effectively rolled into the payment, but it is not considered a separate transaction, if you will. So we're going to have an expert on about, you know, where the money is, how the money is funneling into this country, into our banks. And so we've got a lot of things coming up in the new year, which will be next Friday. A lot of guests coming up, and I think you're going to like a lot of what they have to say. We've got some folks from Texas coming on, very active in what is happening in Texas. And for some reason, the South seems to be now. I'm not saying the North doesn't have their problems. You look at Detroit and Minneapolis, but the South seems to be the genesis for the Muslim Brotherhood taking hold. And so you need to find out. You need to find out where they are and who they are. And it's easy. Like Robert just said, find out the name of the mosque in your town or the mosques. Google them. And then find out who the imam is. Go to their website, look at their website, read their bylaws, look at who their board of directors is, and start putting their names in Google and see what you come up with. It's that simple. Because the majority of them you're going to find have some kind of relationship with either Al-Azhar University in Egypt or some faction of the Muslim Brotherhood. And then when I say the Al-Azhar University, that is the number one university in Cairo, Egypt, for Dawah. I'm going to go get my degree in Dawah today. But anyway, it's that simple. Learn who is behind the interfaith forums. If you're active in your church and you hear that there's going to be an interfaith forum, find out who they are. Find out who the Muslims are that are going to be sitting on that panel telling you all about peaceful Islam. And maybe you should go there. Maybe you should go to that forum with a question and ask them about some of the things that we've talked about. I can guarantee you'll either be assisted out the door because you're being insensitive, or they just won't answer your question. But these are things that everyone can do, and these are things that everyone needs to do. The Muslim Brotherhood has just been ruled a terrorist organization in Egypt. The Muslim Brotherhood here in America is being cared for, nurtured, and is growing more than we ever imagined. They're in the White House. They're in your children's schools. They're in textbooks. They're training our law enforcement. They're training our military. They're everywhere. The Muslim Brotherhood's hold on America is starting to strangle us. We can't let that happen. So it's up to you, and it's up to me to find out where and who they are and expose them. If you need help with that, go to my website, dailyrollcall.com, and go ahead and email me questions. And that's going to do it for this show. I hope you enjoy the rest of your evening, and may you have a very healthy and happy new year, and we hope to see you again after the new year. Have a good evening, and God bless.